This is Julian Clover.
Community radio in your city. Cambridge 105.
Ebola continues to make the news. We remember Corporal Emma Cross, the former Addenbrookes nurse, who went out to Sierra Leone and ended up being treated alongside the people she was caring for. And more recently, Scottish nurse Pauline Cafferkey is back in hospital after suffering an apparent relapse. You'd have heard a little bit about that in our news. Dr. Jane Greatorex is an undergraduate tutor and fellow with Lucy Cavendish College. She's also a senior research scientist with Public Health England, based at Addenbrookes Hospital. I'm pleased to say that she's with me now. Hello.
Hi.
Thank you very much for coming in. You spent a spell in Sierra Leone yourself, I believe, on behalf of Public Health England.
I did. I mean, like many others, I spent 5 weeks there, which was the general span of time given to doctors and nurses and scientists in Sierra Leone this year.
Right, so was this one of these things, presumably you had to volunteer, it wasn't your going, whether you like it or not?
We volunteered, and both Public Health England and the NHS very generously allowed people to go if they wanted to for one term. I was selected to be one of the team leaders over that time period.
And during the course of your time there, you know, what sort of conditions did you deal with?
Everything, actually. I mean, as a working environment, it's very challenging. It's not very well resourced. You have no electricity a lot of the time. It was the rainy season, so we had a lot of flooding. But on top of that, of course, you had Ebola to deal with. So you had, at the time I was there, which was June, July, we were mainly dealing with survivors. But we were also dealing with all the aftermath. So lots and lots of what we call rather gruesomely dead swabs. So this was the screening of everybody who died in the country to make sure that they didn't die of Ebola. And it was that captured all the last cases that we've
so
seen.
So this was going through. You were basically whatever somebody might have died of, I don't know, what other, I'm guessing that Ebola is not going to be the only problem in that part of the world.
No, everything. Road traffic accidents and malaria is the main killer at this time of the year, ordinarily.
Mm. How did Ebola evolve in the first place?
Oh, so we first saw Ebola in Africa, on the continent, in 1976. And since then, there have been numerous small outbreaks. The largest outbreak up until this time was about 425, I think, people at one go. This is much, much larger than that. And it comes, we think, from a number of different sources. It badly affects gorillas, and it affects a number of bat species.
Right, so is there some sort of transference between, I guess bats would be the most likely as they're airborne, between them and humans through, I don't know what sort of contact it might be, maybe just lack of hygiene?
I think bats are actually also a food source. They're very...
okay. So, yeah, that's possibly explains a lot then, in which case.
Yeah, although we think the index case, which came from December 2013, was a little boy in Guinea, and he was playing in a tree where bats roosted. And we don't... obviously, he wasn't eating them at the time. He was playing in there with his cousins and siblings, and it's possibly it was just bat saliva on
the
tree.
So you think that the bulk of the outbreak could have come from just that boy up the tree with the bats?
Yeah, they think they've traced it back to one individual case
right
back then.
But it was that, you know... You'd say it, you know, comes in different periods. Was it simply waiting for a boy to go up a tree or some other circumstance which might have triggered it?
No, I think it's unfortunate circumstance. Probably those bats, that particular species we didn't know carried Ebola, actually. Mm. Probably. Happened to be there, happened to infect that one child, and it went unmissed for a time. And this gradually built up, as you know from the press, over a period of time, and wasn't acted on perhaps as quickly as it should have been.
What have we now learned from the work that you've done and other colleagues in Sierra Leone and other places in the region? Have you been able to diminish the prospect of it coming back in 12 months, 36 months, or whatever period of time with such the same force that was experienced recently?
I'd like to think that wouldn't happen again. I think everybody from the WHO down to the countries themselves and their healthcare systems have learned a huge amount. I think one of the key things is that surveillance will be much, much better in future. And the other thing is that when we, other nations intervene, as we had to do in such a study, that we'll do so with taking customs and into account first, because one of the big issues, as you people probably gathered from the press was it was very hard to get across the message that Ebola was a virus that was killing people.
Is that one of the problems? You know, over here, if there's something, you know, we play them ourselves sometimes, you know, the old public information films, which advise people to do this or do that in the most simplest form. I dare say the old, you know, wear a bobble hat to keep warm ones will be coming for us in the UK. Is there the infrastructure to get messaging across in places like Sierra Leone to enable people to take the steps necessary?
Yeah, I think there is. There exists infrastructure. It was not enough. It wasn't enough to deal with an outbreak of that size. But I think in future, we'll know that actually the first thing that comes is the social work. That has to come right up front, along with all the doctors and nurses and people in suits and scary vehicles, before we start, you know, frightening people away from hospitals.
Yes. Well, it's interesting. We obviously were familiar with you because you're here in Cambridge and from the good people at Lucy Cavendish College sending you in our direction. Obviously, we heard about Pauline Kafferke in the news as well. And I mentioned at the start of this piece, Emma Cross. Were there other people from other countries there, or was it just the UK? We get to hear about people who are sick because they're British. It's the kind of thing which happens in the news. But did other countries take part?
Yeah, it was very multinational. In fact, my own team was made up from people from different countries because our own Public Health England teams took in some people who volunteered because their own countries weren't sending out specific workforces.
Right, so individuals could say to their, I don't know, they're the equivalent of Public Health England, I'd like to go out there, please, and they can assign you to your team or one of the others.
Yeah, absolutely. And then in fact, my team wasn't just laboratory, you know, clinical laboratory scientists. I had everybody from a plant biologist, we had a lady from the Institute of Public Health here. A lot of students went, a lot of PhD students who've got backgrounds. So it was very mixed. It was a wonderful response, very good team building.
And swinging it back in the other direction, are there things that we can learn here in Britain? To things which have been experienced over there, hopefully not with something like Ebola.
Yes. I mean, one of the strengths, you could argue, is that we now have a very large medical force and clinical laboratory force that's well-trained in dealing with containment level 4 viruses, so the top level security viruses. So that's been good as it sounds very harsh, but as a learning exercise, it's very good and very useful. And we also put together very excellent training schemes. I mean, I went for a week to Porton Down in Wiltshire and trained like everybody else did in a complete replica of the laboratories in Sierra Leone, so that when you went out there, you were hitting the ground running. And that was very military.
It is, though. It does sound quite, very, 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 very official as well. More recently, there was last weekend, there was a big biology day at Lucy Cavendish, which presumably, because the college is 50th anniversary, isn't it, this year, I think?
It is our 50th anniversary, yes. So it was great to be able to input into the big biology day. It's run by the Royal Society of Biology. And I was speaking at that along with a couple of other people about zoonotic diseases that can be transmitted from animals to humans.
Mm. Do you think we know enough about biology? Just every day knowing enough about biology? Because, the last time I did it, I think it was O-level.
No, I think we really need... I think scientists like myself and biologists need to keep informing the public so that there is... so that everybody's aware. A biology day was a case in point. We had everybody from sort of 4 or 5 year olds upwards coming and enjoying themselves and learning about science. Small children sat at tables chopping up chicken legs. Actually.
They like doing that.
I
don't quite understand. Not something I quite fancy doing myself, but nephew and niece, they love it. Anything like that.
Yeah. No, I think getting the public informed about science and understanding it, and the British public has a good understanding actually, but keeping that going is very important.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, communicating anything like that. I find the same with, it's like on this programme, you know, we call our business news the money minute because there's less chance of people nodding off than if we just call it plain business news. Yeah, blown the gaff on that one now. Thank you very much for coming in to chat to us. Do pop back sometime. Do you have any more plans to do some more travel?
Well, I'd love, yes, as part of Cambridge Africa, which is a university-run massive programme of philanthropy supporting scientists in Africa. I've just been to Geneva for 4 days, helping run with Cambridge Africa a summit there. And I'll be going back to Rwanda in December to talk to scientists that we've had collaborations with via the university.
Oh, best of luck with them. I'll have to
pop
back and tell us a little bit more. Thanks very much. That's Dr. Jane Greatorex, who's with Lucy Cavendish College.